RSN Central's Form Express.
They're racing in Hamilton and Victoria today. Here's Warren Huntley and his thoughts regarding his better plays for the card.
I think Pristine Image is the anchor, race 7, number 7. I'm hoping there's some value about race 5, number 4, there's Nina, just into the double figures in a small field. Quaddy first leg, Michael, 1, 3 and 4. Second leg, 2, 7, 9 and 10. Just numbers 4 and 7 in the third leg and numbers 2 and 5 in the last leg. I also think the early quaddy's a bit skinny. We'll try and get that for a small outlay for the play of the day. First leg, 1 and 6. Second leg, 3 and 5. Third leg, 6 only. Last leg, 10 only. So outlaying $4 and hopefully snaring the early quaddy. That probably won't happen, but we'll give it a go.
Let's hear what Matt Kamani had to say about the chances of Parramatta in race 2.
His last run was actually quite promising. It didn't really go to plan, but I thought he showed enough that yes, he'll be winning soon. So I'm hopeful that he can today and go on with it as well. But probably low confidence, but the horse is certainly well. And if he can get the right sort of ride, I think he should put in a really good performance.
Here's Simon Wilde on the chances of Pristine Image in race 7.
Looks like a nice race for him. He's dropping back from a mile to 1,400, but he's just had such a long campaign. We thought we'd try and keep him really fresh since his last run and drop him back in trip a little bit, which has allowed us to do not a whole lot with him. He's just been pottering around at the beach and a bit of swimming and light jogger work. So he's nice and fresh for this one, and I think 1,400 suits. And it looks a nice race, and Dean's ridden in his last three, so he knows the horse well. And hopefully he can just put himself in a good position. And, I think if he runs up to his last couple of starts, he should be going pretty close.
They're racing at Wagga this afternoon in New South Wales. Ian Humphreys, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gareth.
How do we make some money there at Wagga today?
Looking at a couple of Kurt Goldman specials here, mate. First one is race 3, number 5, which is Important Product. Ran on very strongly when resuming at the Sapphire Coast. It's not overly strong. Instead of getting out of this extra journey, he's the one to beat. And then his stable mate in race 7, number 4, Moondancer. Resuming here, recently ran second in a barrier trial at Rose Hill. And again, not a strong maiden, this one. I think she'll be very hard to beat, so she's a second special. The quaddy, the first leg, will take numbers 5, 7, 9 and 10. The second leg, 1, 4, 11. Third leg, 1, 2, 4, 5 and 6. And come home with 2, 4, 5 and 8.
All right, good luck. Let's hope it's Kurt's day today there at Wagga.
We hope so, mate.
There's Ian Humphreys there talking about the meeting at Wagga Wagga, and their harness racing today is at Stawell. Just having a look at the best bets from Dan Malecki. Now, in the opening race, he's keen on the pacer trained by the Clark family in Up and Adam in the Claimer. So race at 1, number 4. His best each way bet comes up in race number 6, and that's horse number 9, Masaki, which is currently at $3.10. And his quaddy, which starts in race number four, he likes 1, 2, 4, and 8 in the first leg. In the second leg, he's keen on four horses as well, 1, 4, 6, and 7. In the third leg, he likes 6 and 9, Zara's All Good and Masaki as well. And in the final race, he likes Rocketfoot Cheese, the Tasmanian Man, now with Alex Ashwood at $1.75, and also Better Exclusive for the Informed Tyndale Camp at around $10. I think there'll be one horse there hard to beat there today. A little earlier on in the program, Wonderland. Glenn Craven takes the drive. Hopefully it can lead all of the way there. So that's race 2, number 1. Georgie Ferrugia joins us. G'day, George.
G'day, Gareth. How are you?
I think it'll be a big night for our man Ian Garland, the hairdresser from Bendigo, with two Aston Dogs at Shepparton tonight.
Yeah, he's got some handy greyhounds there engaged today. Always a good meeting on a Monday night at Shep. We'll start at Ballarat, though, Gareth. Race 2, number 7, a greyhound called Hazelnut is my best. The team daily chaser won her maiden well at this track, leading all the way in 25.79, which isn't an elite time, but she showed good speed. Her splits were good. She's been lightly raced, but back here over the 390, and she should prove too good. Race 2, number 7. Shep, quaddy number, 1, 2, 4, and 8 into 1, 2, and 5 into 4, 5, 6, and 7 into 3, 4, and 8 to bring us home. Yep. Shepparton tonight, mate, as you mentioned. Race 3, number 8, she's so lovable. racing in very good form, Gareth, and her speed early is very impressive. She's only small. She doesn't even tip the scales at around the 23, 24 kilo mark. But she's usually off and gone, and her 22 win at Ballarat was really, really impressive. Race 3, number 8 at Shepparton. Quaddy numbers 3 and 6 into 1 and 2, into 1, 5 and 6, into 2, 3, 6 and 7 to bring us home.
Let's have a look at the two big Group 1s at Sandown Park on Friday night. The Bold Trees final, which is race number 5, and the Melbourne Cup final. The big race, the Melbourne Cup, which is race number 7 on the program. Having a look at the market since yesterday's box draw and the thrill of the chase there, 10 o'clock each Sunday morning. I highly recommend you watch that program, Georgie. Aston Rupee's the $2.50 favourite, but he hasn't budged from that quote. In fact, there's been no market move so far for this year's TAB Melbourne Cup. I think the punters are a little bit confused now after Aussie's secret drew box one.
Well, look, Gareth, we often hear this, and I know that sometimes people might think it's a bit of a cop-out, but I think it is the case here. You could run this race 10 times and get some very, very different results. The other thing I don't think people... I've had a really good look at Japara, for instance, Gareth. He's raced at the Meadows and Sandown for most of his career. He's broken 5.10 to the mark on 17 occasions, Gareth. So, well, I suppose what I'm trying to get at here is he may be the one that provides the cover for Koblenz even, and Aston Rupee. Aussie Secret, he's going to try to push out, but Japara might be right there as well. He's gone as quick as 5.02 at the Meadows a couple of months ago. So that early speed battle, Gareth, is unbelievable. I've had a good think about this. You sort of have to go back to thinking that Kareem Wright might rise to the top here, and Aston Rupee, if he can just get an ounce of luck, he's still going to be the greyhound to beat. As we said yesterday, Gareth, I'm keen to have a bit of a play on Lala Kiwi because I just love her in terms of her speed, and I don't think the box draw is that bad. But have you had a little bit more time to dissect it, mate? I know you're keen on Kinson Bale.
Well, I think Kinson Bale and Aussie Secret, just because I'm tipping that there might be a bit of a sandwich there at the into that first turn. Even if Aussie Secret comes out on Japara, he might come... Like, Koblenz needs to begin in 4.98, but... So, if he does that, he probably leads still, doesn't he, Koblenz?
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny. Koblenz just needs that box manners, needs the box manners, because Aussie Secret, you know, he's going to go the 5.05s, and it just depends on how much this bumping duel is going to affect dogs, whether, like you said, whether it's just going to have a snowball effect and take Aston Rupee and Koblenz off their feet too. But as I said, don't discount Japara where people think he might just be slow out and then try to hunt up underneath him. He can be a good beginner as well. So that we heard Glenn Rounds yesterday saying, I hope David Gill's got Koblenz going well because he just wants him to provide a little bit of cover. But Japara's there as well. So, look, it's an intriguing race. As we said yesterday too, Gareth, Team Thompson would be absolutely stoked that they've drawn box one with Aussie Secret. He's got a terrific record off the inside, even with his racing habits. So that's where they'd want to be.
What about Lala Kiwi and Lakeview Waltz are getting on top of Aston Rupee, even Tiberia Bale?
Look, I think if Aston Rupee begins like he had been beginning, Gareth, you know, the 501s, 502s, I don't think they worry him too much. And as we've seen where he ran 28.89, he doesn't mind starting from a middle draw. I know this is a harder field, but he actually absolutely accelerated. And as we've seen from inside draws, he just shifts out a little bit. So he might just go dead straight. And if he can begin cleanly and run 5.05, for instance, it just depends on, if Aussie Secret cuts back in. I think you're right. I think you're spot on. I think punters are really, they're just worried because they understand that so many things can happen. And you will know in the first, 10, 15 metres.
And I love how everybody talks about who Aussie Secret's going to knock out. But in the end, he's been knocking out the punters because you can't disrespect him. I saw a post from Shona Thompson there yesterday. She is over the moon. Well, the Thompson team anyway, looking for their fifth TAB Melbourne Cup with box number one. I've had something on him.
We discussed this last week, Gareth. I think, and I discussed it on a podcast with Jason Adams. Everyone was talking about Webleck Blazer drawn on the inside, but what about Aussie Secret? He could just get out and go, and that's exactly what he did, Gareth. He got room to move early, and he was off and gone.
Yep.
I think he's out of all of them. He's probably the one that you, if you want to have a safe bet, he should run top three. I think in the Melbourne Cup, if he begins cleanly, he's boxed. In regards to where everyone else is boxed. So he's at $8 at the moment and $2 a place. But you're right. It's going to be really interesting, Gareth, to see some of these betting fluctuations as we go along.
It's going to be a fascinating fascinating race because there's so many different opinions about how this race will play out. Some believe Aston Rupee's in all sorts of trouble, and some say that he's okay along with Koblenz. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the market does. I do have one for you, however, in the Bold Trees, Georgie.
Okay.
Kenny the Brute. He'll sit on Untapped's back, he'll lead easily, and then Kenny the Brute will get through along the inside and win the Bold Trees in 2021.
Look, I understand your reckoning there. The only fly in the ointment for me there is that, Gareth, when Mapunga Ruby's actually at her best, she can show really good speed out of the boxes. And if you... That he might not be able to run her down. Yeah, there's no doubt he could run Untapped down. There's a little bit of speed on early as well with Run Like Jess, who got tired last week, but his first two splits were really good. And then where Gypsy Wyong sits is going to be very interesting because last week we've seen her have some speed, and so does the 8, Draco Bale. The New South Wales Greyhound line of quality, as we mentioned on the show yesterday, Gareth, 11.01 run home. He'll be the one having a crack at them late. It's funny, it's a staying race, but a lot of these Greyhounds probably do their best work in the first three splits. And I think line of quality is probably the genuine stayer, especially with Stanley Road out of the race at this stage.
Yep, so he probably gets a clear run too. If there's that much pace, he can just bide his time and then make his move down the back. But these stays need a little bit of luck, as we saw with Stanley Road, that you can, if you get into a little bit of trouble, that it does make it really hard to make up ground.
It does, and I think that's what makes Mapunga Ruby's run all that more special, Gareth, because she, in her early days, she was a stayer that was pretty much a front-running stayer, and for the way that she run down Gypsy Wyong, if she did it in 41.80, 41.90, it would have been impressive. To do it in 41.60 was amazing, two runs back after injury. So I wasn't expecting it that quickly. I think connections would have been rough with a 41.90 effort and then improve for the final. That's the scary part for me. I think she's the X factor in the race, but I totally understand your point about Kenny the Brute. And he's each way odds for you, Gareth, so you can have a play with some peace, I'd say.
Yeah, I might need to borrow a few after how much money you won over the weekend, Georgie. Tipping winners for fun. You're on that Untapped at, what, $10? Your big place bet, ran a mighty race as well there on Friday night. And geez, Typhoon Semi, he wins the heat of the Melbourne Cup and he doesn't get into the final. Now,
he was my pre-post. Yeah. He was my pre-post to go. So the only way is down from here for me.
Just before we let you, and we'll discuss this tomorrow as well, for Off the Leash, your big Melbourne Cup preview for Off the Leash there tomorrow afternoon on RSN Central. But are you with the national rule or the state rule regarding dead heats and race series like we saw there on Friday night? So just to explain to our listeners is that for the first time in the 66-year history of the Melbourne Cup, there was a dead heat. There's a lot on the line here. If you win the Melbourne Cup next week, you can. It's life-changing for some anyway, $500,000. So the national rule says that it's a ballot between the two dogs that dead heated. So they go into a draw. If your name gets picked out, you go to the final. If it doesn't, bad luck. Here in Victoria, the dead heat stands, but then it's the slowest winning dog doesn't make it. And if the slowest winning time was the dead heat, then it goes to a ballot. So,
I think the national rule is probably slightly fairer, Gareth, only in a sense that I think we discussed this yesterday, that if you're talking about slowest heats, if race track conditions change where there's a big storm and the track's 4 or 5 lengths slower, I think it's unfair for a greyhound in that regard. So, any way you look at it, 9 can't go into 8, and you know that this is the rule that has been for the Melbourne Cup for forever and a day. So, it's unfortunate. It really is for Typhoon Sammy.
Yep.
I'm not going to say he's got bigger fish to fry. They would love to be in a Melbourne Cup. That would be a silly statement. But I love the fact that he's had two runs over 500 metres. Both of them have been pretty impressive, Gareth. And we spoke to Jason Lincoln about this on our podcast. You know, what's he going to be like with another 3-4 weeks over 500 under his belt? He's a pretty outstanding commodity, probably heading towards the Phoenix. So he obviously at this stage looks probably the long odds on pick for Team Thompson for the tab.
Why do people keep on disrespecting my dog, Aussie Secret? If he wins the Melbourne Cup, Jason has to pick him, doesn't he, for the tab Phoenix?
Well, I don't think it's disrespectful. I think the other dog's got some unbelievable brilliance. And please, Aussie Secret, 31-time race winner. He's an absolute star. You're right. But they might choose to go in with a dog that seemingly has unbelievable upside, especially if he keeps improving. I know he ran 29.60-odd, and people say, well, that's probably not going to be enough to win a Phoenix if he's up against Rupee. But in 3 or 4 months' time, Gareth, he could be running 29.70s at the Meadows, for instance, and be that dog that his first two splits are ridiculous. So, yeah, I mean, time will tell.
Looking forward to it, George. You will have a big off-the-leash previewing the TAB Melbourne Cup tomorrow as well. And, of course, we've got the Devonport Chase coming up on Thursday as well. Good on you, mate.
Talk soon, mate.